Om Shanti. Today, the subject we have is distinguishing Srimad and recommendations and assignments. Everybody knows those words, right? So Srimad, first of all, is associated with the Gita. And the Gita is called Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And it begins with Sri Bhagavan Uvach. That means that Srimad is spoken by God. And so there are many things that could be Srimad, and all of them come in the Murlis. Sometimes something may be spoken by Brahma Baba, but Brahma Baba always says, consider that it comes from Sheep Baba. Because whatever Brahma Baba says is either strongly influenced by Sheep Baba or his journeyings of what Sheep Baba says. And Sheep Baba has guaranteed that Brahma Baba is number one. And if by any chance Brahma Baba gives an instruction which is not right, then Sheep Baba will put it right. So this is sufficient guarantee that anything that comes from the Murli, we say that it comes from the mind, the intellect of God. And so we do our very best to follow that. And he says that we do this number-wise according to effort, number-wise according to love, number-wise according to faith, number-wise according to capacity. So there are variables. And so some examples of Srimad are consider yourself to be a soul, because you are a soul. And remember me, your father. And so that's a Srimad. But it's also a recommendation, because he says if you do this, then your sins will be destroyed, and that is recommended because you come to God with various requests, and one of them is, would you please remove my sins? And so he says, well, I can only do that if you consider yourself a soul and remember me and also follow a few other recommendations as well. Now, in centers, we have people who are appointed, who are called instruments. And so, now Brahma Baba is an instrument for Sheep Baba. And then we have some dadis who are called the main instruments. And then our various categories of RC and NC and CC, they're called instruments. But it doesn't mean that what an instrument says is Srimad. It might be. But it's not invariably so, because every instrument is a human being, right? We are still humans. And so sometimes an instrument will give us a direction. We have this word direction. And Srimad is also translated as pure direction. So, as in the Murli today, Baba was giving directions for service. So we use the word direction. Even in Hindi, we call it a direction. And that would be like an assignment that Baba has his students in front of him. So we are his students, but we are also the people who he assigns different tasks to. And so when he will give a direction that you must make big pictures and put them in prominent places so that people can read the words on the pictures from a far distance, that's an assignment. And if you do it, then a few things happen. And if you don't do it, a few things happen. And so the way Dadi Janki was presenting it this morning, she was saying that, well, you know, if Baba says something, and how Dadi Gulzar was speaking yesterday, you know, Mama's speciality was to say, if Baba says something, then it is done. She will consider it essential to get it done because Baba said it. And when she was asked what her spiritual effort is, she said, it's in this. Baba said, and I did. And so this then is that she will take something that Baba says as a farman. This is another word, farman. And a farman is like as an order, you know. So someone who has that relationship with God, which was also mentioned in the Murli today, the lover and beloved, if you love someone, you will do what they say. And Baba very often mentions that you will do what Baba wants because you love him. And so a person who is in that relationship of absolute dedication to God, they will say, whatever Baba says is a farman, and I must do this. So the way that you relate to Baba and the way that you relate to the yajna and the arrangements that Baba has made depends also on how you take what is given to you as a recommendation or an assignment or an order or a command or a shrimat. So there's a big spectrum of words that we relate to depending on how we feel about the whole thing. Sometimes it's a very good idea to consider everything to be a recommendation. Because if you feel that, well, I cannot do 8 hours yoga and every day, and I cannot be in the stage that Baba is talking to me about, and you feel that this is too difficult or too high, then just simply consider all of this to be a recommendation. He recommends that you consider you're a soul. Okay, I can do that. If he orders you to consider yourself as a soul, you say, oh, I don't think I can do that. It's the same thing. But if it's a recommendation, it's easier to do it than if it's an order. You see how we relate differently to the implication of different words. And so very many people, I think, will find it quite helpful to consider everything to be a recommendation, because then if you don't do what is recommended, it's okay. Right? Because a recommendation, you can do it, and if you don't do it, it's not like you'll go to hell or something like that, you know? So if you say, okay, well, Baba recommends us to be vegetarian and eat food prepared in Baba's remembrance and offered, and he recommends us to wear white, and he recommends us to do service, and he recommends that we do Amrit Vela, and all these recommendations, because if we do any of these, we'll be ahead. Sometimes people feel easily guilty, you know, that if I don't do what Srimad says, then I will be a bad person, you see. But if you don't do a recommendation, it doesn't imply that you'll be a bad person, you see. But otherwise it's the same thing. But it depends how you take it. Now, Brahma Baba, when Shiva Baba said, you have to make a world like this, having shown him a vision of heaven, you see. So Brahma Baba took it as an order, as an assignment, as an inspiration, and his attitude was, by hook or by crook, I have to do this. But he didn't tell me how. You know. So your relationship with Baba will make a difference on how you relate to your perception of what he's telling you to do, you see. And one thing that's very useful, yesterday Shilu Ben was speaking about the Gita, which is something that she and I find extremely inspiring, because the Gita is the scripture that talks about this whole conversation between God and the seeker on the battlefield. And there is the understanding that if we become PKs, then at some point we would have been gods and goddesses of India. Right? And then we would have been doing different types of devotion, much of which in India, much of which involved studying the Gita over a number of lives. And so when we arrive here in the confluence age, we arrive with this enormous background of a relationship with God through the previous confluence age and through two ages of devotion and spiritual practices. So the soul is already predisposed to a particular interaction with God. And the soul has made many promises, which sometimes Baba reminds us about. For example, he says, you promised, we don't know how many lives ago, that when you come, we will surrender to you. So I'm here, okay, so now you can surrender. And you say, well, maybe I didn't ever make that promise. He says, no, you did, because I checked, you know. But you can't remember. So you either think that, oh yes, I probably did, so it's okay. Or you say, no, I definitely couldn't have done that. So who are you to tell me who I am? Well, he says, well, I'm God, you know. And I can track you through your births. And in fact, I have been tracking you through your births. And even in the most recent Avyat Murli, Baba said that you actually do not have the capacity to find God, though you may have looked for him for many births, like looking for a needle in a haystack, but you do not have the capacity to find God. And even we could go as far as to say that you do not have the capacity to recognize him when he comes in front of you. Because if you can, why not the next people? This is a strange thing, that certain people recognize him and the next door people don't. Why? Maybe he let you see him. He allowed you to recognize him, or he enabled you to recognize him. How about that? What do you think? Could be. Otherwise, I don't think that you have the pure intellect to be able to recognize him. But somehow you recognize him. And this aspect of recognition is very important, because you recognize him, and it's because he says that you say, "I will do," right? Well, would you do all these things for anybody else? I don't think so. You know, it's very much because of who is telling me. This is why Daddy Janki keeps on saying, you know, recognize who you are, who am I, and who is talking to me, who is my instructor. You know? So even if you say he's giving me a recommendation, but still, if God himself is giving me a recommendation, then I will take it much more personally, much more deeply than if it's somebody else. You know, like if you go to see a doctor for a particular illness, then they will give you some medicine that you have to take, and they will give you some exercises that you are recommended to do, which he doesn't expect you'll do, but it'd be good if you do, but he won't kill you if you don't, but if you don't take the medicine, it probably will. You see? And so we have these variations. Now, sometimes people have felt that anything that is said by a instrument person, instrument sister or instrument brother, that is Srimat, and it has to be blindly followed. Maybe there's not too many people who think like that, but there are some, you know. And that means that you have set aside your duty to be responsible for what you're doing. And one of the things that Daddy Janki mentions is that she will not very readily give advice to somebody. And even Brahma Baba was very reluctant to give advice to someone in particular. And the reason is that if you do not do it, then you have created a negative karma between yourself and her, or between yourself and Brahma Baba. So if Shiva Baba will give you something that you must do personally, he will first see, is this child going to do it? Because he will not put a child in a situation where they do not do what he says, so that they incur a debt. You see? So he has that capacity to see that in an individual. And in the beginning, where the family was very small, and the souls who had come to Baba were the most powerful of all of the souls of the Kalpa tree, then the way that Baba would interact with them was very much predicated on the reality that they had the power to do what he says, and they had the will to do it as well. But now we have a much, much larger family, and we have people who have many varieties of the degree to which you put yourself in that kind of position, or that you have the capacity to actually have that kind of strength of will and strength of faith to actually take these things and make them a reality, you know. And so as the yagya has progressed, the evolution of our relationship with Baba, individually and collectively, has also developed in this way. So, nowadays, we will see that Baba is asking us to get together. Even in the beginning he would do this, to get together and work out what you're going to do using the suggestions and recommendations of Baba. Because it's very grounded if you do that. So he will say, okay, you should make big pictures and you should display them in prominent places, and then many people will come, and you should put this banner on it saying, this is mirrors which will enable blind people to open up their eyes and see. And so someone like Daddy Jenki will take it and say, yes, I will do this, and I will do this exactly the way Baba says. And then you may have another group of people who will get together and they will work out how to do exhibits, and they will take different responsibilities. And both of those are following Baba. You see? Well, one of them is like the one who takes it as a command. Other is the one who takes it as a recommendation or as an assignment. And so when somebody in your center who is the coordinator or the instrument will say, okay, I would like you to do this and I would like the other one to do that and so on, and distributes the tasks, and if you don't agree with it, or if it doesn't work out for your time or your energy or something like this, then you have to discuss it, because it is, after all, an assignment that can be negotiated. Now, if you have entered into an agreement with a person that I will do service, whatever a service is given to me, this many hours or something like this, you see. And then that person will take you up on that agreement and say, okay, you said you will do this many hours, this many days per week, and so here is what I would like you to do. And then you say, oh, well, I've changed my mind. I'm not available anymore. I'm having a mood off or whatever, you know. That means that the contract, the social contract between the people who are positioning themselves as available for Baba's service cannot fulfill their agreement, so they become unreliable. You see? So we also have to understand that there is a contract, an unwritten contract or a social contract that arises when you become part of a service team, you see. And you need to understand what is your end of the agreement. And if you don't fulfill it, then it means that the agreement is automatically changed. So sometimes people will say, well, you know, I made myself available and you're not asking me to do anything. Then you have to go back in the history that, yes, you made yourself available, but this time, this time, this time, this time, you performed unreliably. Sometimes you were available, sometimes you were not. So we can't rely on you. You understand this? I see. So if you say to yourself, well, I'm not able to make myself that much reliable. I want to have the opportunity to say no whenever I don't feel like doing it. Then you either say it straight up, or it becomes understood by the way that you interact with the other people in the service team or the person who is the coordinator or the instrument. So this is very normal, and it is a factor that is part of sanskaras, and depending on the understanding, depending on how much you make yourself available for Baba. And sometimes a person's opinion of what a service is supposed to be may not coincide with the conventions that are there within the majority of the Brahmin family, you see. And so if you have a different opinion from those conventions, it doesn't mean that your opinion will be what happens. And you will find that the others will say, well, that's nice, but this is how we have been doing it. We'll consider what you're saying, but it may or may not be taken up by everyone else, you see. So nowadays, more and more, we are moving towards consensus building. You see. So in the beginning, anything that Baba said, that is what would happen. Because Baba had that charisma, Baba had that authority, and Baba had the clarity that he, and the vision that he would understand the people very well, and he would understand what can be done, and then he would speak from that understanding. And others would see regularly that this is so, and therefore that became the contract between Baba and those who were his immediate, the main BKs, the main helpers, you see. And I think that when Dadi Prakash Mani took up the reins of the Yajna after Baba, she also commanded that same authority, and she had that clarity, and she had the integrity of spirituality. I remember Dadi sitting on one of these stages in a meeting and saying, I want you to make gatherings of 100,000. And up until that time, the largest gathering had been around 8,000 to 10,000. And that was before we had Shantivan or anything like that. So Dadi said, 100,000. And within a month, the first big mela of more than 100,000 was done in Ahmedabad. And after that, everybody knew that if Dadi said, and it was done, then this is the level on which we do service now, you see. So one thing is Dadi said, and people were inspired, and then it happened, you know, because of the accumulated power of yoga, because of the inspiration, because when Dadi would say something, he did a very, very good connection with Baba, you know. So number wise, in the, you can say, the hierarchy of Baba's instruments, we see what we had, but it doesn't mean that anybody who is an instrument for a center is automatically and necessarily having that same capacity as Dadi Prakash Mani. Does it? I don't think so. Sometimes we know our capacity, but many times we don't. And sometimes Baba will, you know, Baba, you had a panel this morning using Baba, yeah? And so Baba says, use me. But sometimes, as Baba said in the Murali today, some of Baba's children have body consciousness. So if you have body consciousness, then you may get an idea which is not right, or which is not practical, or which is not appropriate, you see. And so then the other people who work together with those instruments, they will bring in their thoughts and say, okay, there's a nice idea, but it's not appropriate, it's not practical, here's another possibility, you see. And then working together and building consensus seems to be the trend that is happening these days. And so we reserve the word Srimat for the actual instructions that Shiv Baba gives for us to reach the Karmatit stage. Now, for all of us who are in the double foreigner department, we have been under the guidance of Daddy Jenki since the beginning of double foreign service. And so I remember one day I was discussing with Daddy, and she said to me, now you have to do this and then 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 this. And I looked at her and I said, are you for real? She said, oh, it's just recommendation. It's just a suggestion. You know, but I had been taking it as Srimat, you know, you have to do this. And it was impossible. But what she meant was, you could do this or this or this or this. And I took it as, you could do this and this and this and this and this, you know. And so it was very interesting that for her, it was like obvious that this was just suggestions, you know. And so I had to look at myself and really see that I needed to be able to understand that, yeah, these are just suggestions and recommendations. And then there are times when she will say to me, you have to do this. Yeah. Like she will say to me, you can only wear a white sari, not anything else. I say, okay. But I could just as easily say no. You see? I say, no, I'm not going to do that. But I said, okay, I'm going to do that. I say, okay, position myself like that. I will do this. And what I find is that when you have a relationship like that with somebody who is right from the seed of the yajna, you know, that person will take you forward in the same, with the same rigorousness as Baba had taken them forward. So I said, no, I would like to do that. Let me position myself like that. But it's a choice. It's not an obligation. It's a choice. So I think that everyone has to make their policy that how will I manage myself in the different ways that I can move forward in the yajna, you see. And we see that over the years, as different people come in, there's a different feel to the, you can say, the generation, you know, or like you say, the class of 75 and the class of 85 and the class of 92 and like this. And so as different people come in at different times, that time period actually has an impact on the way that that group of people work with the knowledge, work with the yajna, and interact with the people who are to be served and the system for service. You know, when I came in to Gyan, there was just two rooms in Tennyson Road, and there was just Daddy Jenki, Jayanti Ben, and me. And so we did everything. And now, if you see, Global Corporation House and Diamond House. You have a lot of departments and arrangements and people who have been there for a long time, and they have set particular trends in the way that their department works. Here in Madhuban, you know that Dadi had made a model of Madhuban. She speaks about this. Baba told her, you make a model of Madhuban. So all the centers, all the things that we do, the methods, the systems that we have, they're modeled on Madhuban. And these systems were set up by Brahma Baba, Mama, the Dadis, the main brothers. And they set it up in this way. They figured it out. They decided. This uniform was decided upon when the Brahma Kumaris came to India. And service began. Otherwise, if you see the photographs, you see that the sisters were wearing long tunics and baggy pants, which is easier in a lot of ways, especially when you're living in very closed conditions and you have to do all the basic work. You know, some of the sisters were mechanics and the laundry and the big pots, and you can't do that so easily in a sari, you know. But then when the sisters had to go up on stage and present to people, they had to have a look that people could relate to, and but which was also representing what Baba was describing. And so they worked it out, you see. And Shiv Baba had given visions of the cycle, visions of the tree. But then Mama was assigned to make the picture of Lakshmi and Narayan. And Brahma Baba put together the picture of the ladder, you see. And then later on, other exhibitions have been created. And so it starts in a particular way, and as it grows and extends, people become more involved, and it becomes more and more of a teamwork and a consensus building. And so in our distinguishing between these words of Srimat, recommendation and assignment, it depends very much on us understanding ourselves and then seeing how we're going to include all the things that Baba is saying to us step by step as we move forward in the development of our faith, in the accumulation of yoga power, and in the way in which we relate to the Brahmin family in its hugeness, because we are now a family of 1 million people, which is the largest family that has ever existed at any time on the planet. And here it is. And so I think that Daddy Gulzar will be with us in just a moment. So I will wind up here. Some of you may have some questions about this, but I think we might have to do it another time, because I was given this time of 6:45 when Dadi is going to come and join us. So Om Shanti. I hope this has been useful for you. Has it? Yes? Okay. So I just had a message that we have another 5-10 minutes. So if you have any questions, we could bring a microphone, and then we have a chance to interact a little bit. Does anybody?
Thank you for the sharing. And I was thinking in what you mentioned about Baba giving me the gift to recognize him. Then the automatic question was, why me and not my neighbor?
It's always a question, isn't it? But I've thought about this a lot, and I ask myself, self, do you have the capacity to recognize God? And I said, no. I don't. So, I'll tell you the story of me recognizing God is that when I before I came into Kyan, I was very strongly having this thought that God is going to come, and I'm not sure if I'll recognize him. So this was a matter of extreme concern. And I don't know why I thought God is going to come, but I did. And I did have a lot of visionary experiences, and all sorts of things were happening to me for several years before I came into Kyan. So I probably thought God was going to come soon because of that. But this big concern was there. And then when I came to the Brahma Kumaris and Jyantiben had given me the course, and I thought, on the first day, I thought, my goodness, I met the first intelligent human being ever today, because I could never get anybody to tell me about these things that I was so interested in concerning the soul. And then the second day, she's telling me, and God has come. I say, wait a minute. It's a very big thing you're telling me. You know, and I made her go very slowly. And I got it. And I said, oh my God, she's right. And then later on I said to myself, my goodness, there wasn't any problem in recognizing him. I didn't have to worry so much. But I did have that concern. But at the same time, if I analyze my capacity, to recognize God, which I do quite frequently, and my conclusion always is, I do not have the capacity. So I can understand that it is the same in the previous kalpa, and that's why me, because I'm the same one. But I did also come to the conclusion that he made it possible for me to recognize him. And why he would have done that is because of the future or the ancient past. You know, so it all has to do with the cycle, you know, the knowledge of the cycle. Good. Okay, Om Shanti.